103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Sod Show. It's Brian Green and himself, Peter Donegan, in the same studio at the same time.
Unbelievable, Jeff. Unbelievable, Jeff. Good evening, good afternoon, Brian. Good morning if I don't see you tomorrow.
And if you're on the podcast, good middle of the night. And tell us on today's programme what we've got.
We have Pat Lawler. Lawler is how it's, I guess, spelt or written phonetically or something along those lines. But Pat Lawler, who is the head don, as I like to call him, of Kilbeggan Organic Foods. A fantastic story. Do you ever meet somebody who can just close their eyes and kind of instinctively knows exactly by touch, sense, feel how it's all happening? That's the level we're at here, except it is in the oat growing department, subsection organic oats only. Fantabulous story. And I genuinely mean that.
Do you have that old organic argument, or are we past all that?
Oh God, no. There are no arguments in horticulture, as we will chat with Eugene Higgins in a couple of upcoming shows. There are people who don't like pink boats and maybe like Morris Minors, and that might upset them, and that's understandable. In this department, we have an organic oat grower who is, it's a fantastic product, and I double underline that because I have tasted it. And number two, this is the beauty bit of it, and he tells you this himself. They only produce or only use their own oats that they produce in their own products. Did I get that right?
You did.
Yeah, okay. So when they run out, if they have a bad season, weather-wise, if they have a really bad season, they run out of product. But people understand that. That's the level that we're at.
Okay, that's coming up in a couple of seconds' time. Before we go outdoors, at Sod Show on Twitter, if you're listening live, The Sod Show on Facebook, Sod Show.com is where the back catalogue is, and email us during the week, info@sodshow.com. There's the contacts. Now, Peter, you're holding the microphone and you're outdoors. Let's get outdoors. How can we do that Doctor Who noise? We go, and we're outside.
Yeah.
We're outside now.
Okay, am I outside now?
Yes, we're outside now.
Okay, I better go. It's a Friday afternoon, and you are listening to Peter. It's The Sod Show again, at Sod Show on Twitter if you hear anything here that you need to know, or facebook.com/TheSodShow, sodshow.com. In my company is Pat. Pat, do you want to explain to people, I guess, what you do for a living?
Well, I'm a farmer. Farmer all my life. In fact, I'm fourth generation on my farm down in Kilbeggan in County Westmeath, and I changed to organic farming in 1999, and our two main enterprises are growing cereals and beef animals.
So you say, let's backtrack this and we'll split it into two. Fourth generation farmer, and we leave the cattle part slightly to one side in its finest simplistic format, and we'll go to the cereals. In the cereals, the main crop that you grow is?
Well, the only cereal crop I grow nowadays is oats, and oats for porridge, for human consumption. Oats can be for animal consumption or human consumption, so we're growing it for human consumption on our farm.
The business part is Kilbeggan Organic Foods. That's the first part, so we know that. If you're listening to this and you're on your iPhone, you're in podcast land, you're walking down by, I don't know, Tremor or what's the Dublin equivalent, the just alongside the water there in Clontarf. Stick it into your iPhone, just Google Kilbeggan, K-I-L-B-G-G-A-N, Organic Foods, and you'll understand what the business is. And we've essentially, what we're doing is we're taking a food angle, a horticulture, and we're putting it backwards and turning it all the way around to end up with the end product. If you're a child of the 80s, you'll understand what porridge is, and you'll understand why we're having this conversation. What's it like, can I ask, Pat, to be, this sounds maybe a silly question, but to be a fourth generation a farmer, inverted commas?
Yeah, well, I suppose in farming in general, most farmers take their farm for granted because they never had to buy it. they've inherited from somebody. But it really becomes part of you and your family. It's part of your DNA. And it's really a strong thing in farming terms to have someone, a successor, to come along. You know, that's a big deal. But nowadays, less and less young people are interested in farming because it is hard work. There's a living in it, but there's not a big living in it. And they get their living cert to go to college and get a good degree. And then where do they want to go? Australia. I have 4 children and 3 of them in Australia.
Did I meet one of your sons? I met one of your sons, that was John, yesterday. He's obviously not gone to Australia. Yeah.
John has been in Australia for the last 6.5 years.
Wow.
He was a physiotherapist in Melbourne, and he came home in the middle of March, made the decision to go back home to Ireland, and now he's back farming with me and in the food business with me as well, which is brilliant as far as I'm concerned.
I'm gathering, and don't get me wrong, because we're gone from physiotherapist to back to farming, but when you say fourth generation, I know anybody who I know who's in the trade, from Carl Jones out in Donabate to the gentleman at Cockagee Cider to Dan Kelly Cider, who are all, they're sons of farmer sons. It seems to be kind of inherent, my apologies, like, you know, the grafting of apples or the pruning of fruit trees. You can almost do it with your eyes closed, and like riding a bike, you can disappear for, like you say, 6.5 years, come back and it just comes back to you. How good is he or at what he does, or what exactly does he do?
Well, John would be the first to admit that he's an awful lot to learn. but I will credit him with, he is a fast learner. And I mean, he's his own man now. It's not like as if he never went away and he was always subject to me. You know, John is in his early 30s now, and he's well able to make up his own mind what he wants to do. So his coming back to the farm was totally his decision. Absolutely. We never even slagged him about it, about not coming home. So we were shocked and absolutely thrilled that he has come home. So he's learning the craft of farming, and in the food business then in Quebec and Organic Foods, he's bringing a lot of new vision to the marketing of it, and he has new products in the back of his head. I know well he has.
We'll just go to the products for a minute. There are two main products that I am aware. One is the oats for porridge making with a slight twist. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Well, I suppose the twist is that the oats in Quebec and Organic Porridge Oats is the oats from our farm and our farm only. We won't buy it in from anybody else because we know that our customers really like our product and we don't want to spoil it by expanding and buying in from other people. So in actual fact, our supply will always be limited. It's almost like a special edition. And if we don't have a good harvest, then our product actually runs out. People won't have it for maybe July and August until the new harvest comes in September. So it's unpredictable whether we can have the full year or not. But people do love it, and they understand now that sometimes we run out of it and they're patient. But they actually appreciate it now because they know it's genuine. It's the genuine stuff.
Okay, we'll get to the second product in a minute, but I do remember, and let's try and just break this down ever so slightly. So one of 8 children, there would have been 6 of us at the time. Somebody had to get up that slight bit earlier and put the porridge oats into the pot and stir it by hand. This is pre-microwave days, use hipsters living at home and all that malarkey, but yeah, pot on an old circular ring stove. Can you give me the dilution rates of oats to water for best porridge?
Okay, well, for everybody that eats porridge, there's a different way of doing it. But what I say to my customers is how I do it, and it's the simplest way ever. So I soak it the night before, double the volume of water to the volume of oats. So if you have a cup of oats, 2 cups of water. Okay, some people put half water, half milk. But because our oats are so creamy, my customers tell me they don't need to make it on milk anymore. So it's just water and oats, double the amount of water by volume to the amount of oats. Don't bother weighing it or anything. You'll get used to it after a while. So I just turn on the gas cooker in the morning, and once it comes to the boil, and it's boiled as soon as the kettle is boiled and I have my bread out and bread buttered and so on, which is about 2 minutes. Once it comes to the boil, turn off the cooker and eat it. Don't stew it. Don't be leaving it there to simmer. You don't need to do that. You're actually losing nutrient value if you simmer it. And it's not as nice, because if you simmer it for long enough, it becomes wallpaper paste.
I find when I leave porridge for too long, I get like leaving a pint of Guinness going for too long. The head tends to go, as I would call it, a bit crusty. I'm sure that's not a technical term. Why the soaking the night before?
In my case, it's just purely for convenience. It means I've one decision less to make when I get up in the morning when I'm not at my brightest. So I just have it done and dusted, last thing I do before I go to bed, and it's there. All I do is switch on the cooker. And it's a matter of a process. It's done by the time the kettle is boiled, by the time my bread cut and the table set and so on.
So in theory, there was no reason for me doing that all the way through 1980, all the way through to 1990. It didn't serve any benefit whatsoever, apart from it was done in a pot the night before.
None whatever. It's the simplest food you can cook. And the less you cook food, I'm not talking about meat now, but the cereals, the less you cook them, the more the original nutrients are there. And it's also one of the reasons why I was talking about our porridge being creamy. Right, this is what our customers tell us. And the reason for that is that the soluble fiber, now not the overall level of fiber, but if you look at the ingredient list or the nutrition information on ours and compare it to somebody else's, the soluble fiber is higher in ours by far than anybody else's. And that is really, really good for lowering cholesterol. And that is recognized. That's not just me because I think it's good. That is recognized for lowering cholesterol, the soluble fiber. And just in simple terms, and that's all I can talk in, I'm not capable of talking complicated terms, but what happens in the body is that soluble fiber causes the body to excrete bile, and then the body says to itself, I must make bile because I need bile, and in manufacturing the bile, it uses up cholesterol out of the bloodstream, and that's how it lowers the cholesterol.
Wow. Cholesterol is something I mean this in a very nice way. I've only ever heard mentioned on television adverts about lowering, and this is the first time I've probably ever understood why and what is actually happening. We're back to the oats ever so slightly, and I've got this picture of the dude in the Bord Bia advert. If you're living outside of Ireland, put in Bord Bia into YouTube, and it's the rain video. In fact, we'll try and embed it into the show notes or at Sideshow on Twitter if you want to hear it. And it's the guy with the beard, and he walks through, and he looks like a stereotypical handsome me with a beard kind of on, and he's walking through a field of something long grass, and it's all about how great the adverts is. Is that you without the beard? You don't have a beard, but is that you in short on a Monday morning looking so happy standing in the rain, or how does it all work?
Well, I am outstanding in my own field every other day. growing crops organically is about loving the soil. I don't know if I said to you, I have four children. The soil is my fifth child, and I feed that soil and nurture it and love it the same as I do my children, because it's about getting biology, microbiology into the soil, about getting bacteria and fungi and all those things that you need a microscope to see. And if you can get those in the soil in abundance and in diversity, in other words, different colonies of different types of bacteria, then that soil will grow wonderful crops that are healthy and health-giving without the use of any chemical fertilizers or sprays whatsoever.
I've still got that picture in my head, but it's kind of for good reason, because I know where I'm living in North County Dublin on the far side, depending on what's growing in the fields, it primarily wouldn't be oats by any means, more likely barley. But I love that, just that feel of it kind of blowing in the wind, that appearance of it. And you feel like walking through and taking a photograph for an old album sleeve, possibly the Hothouse Flowers or something like that, coincidentally. But what is the decisive moment where you turn around and go, okay, let's harvest, it's harvest time, it's that moment? How do you know what makes a good, what do I call the upper part of the stem in your, I don't want to get this wrong, Pat, because I'm in the company of a maestro, I suppose.
They talk about an ear of corn, and the ear is the top 6 inches where the grain is, you know, and the rest is just the stem. You know, basically, when the grain has become hard, if you find it difficult to break the grain with your teeth, it is then ripe. But I would know by the look of it, I would know by the feel of it, I would know by the smell of it when it's ready. And that's part of the craft of growing this, that you hand down from generation to generation. And you won't get that from a textbook. You will only get it from your knowledge. But the quality of the whole thing begins. And I have to go back again, even if I bore people with this, going back to the soil biology, to the bacteria and the fungi. Once you've got that right, then you sow your crop, and the crop really looks just gorgeous from the time it comes up, right the way through. I mean, I just really love admiring it I know it is my own crop, but I still like admiring it. And then when it comes to the beginning, so it's sown the beginning of October, and it's harvested about the beginning of August, depending on the weather and so on. So Ireland, you're talking about seeing fields of oats and so on. Ireland is ideal for growing oats. Our climate suits it really, really well because it's moist and warm. And oats is the oldest growing cereal crop in Ireland. Going back thousands of years ago, oats has been grown in Ireland. So it really loves our climate, and it is relatively easy to grow if you have the soil good.
We see adverts on televisions and things in magazines about this year's soil, and it's going to have, you know, miraculous powers, and it's, you know, your plants are going to be absolutely brilliant. And I know that brings it maybe back to slightly on the amenity side of it as versus the edible side, but what's the process in your own after harvesting and getting ready for the next year? That's one part of the question. The next part is the basics. When I was growing up in 1980 odd, coming through secondary school doing biology, was, you know, there were certain simple things that you did. In amenity terms, you sterilised with Milton baby fluid, and you cleaned your pots, and you, good husbandry is what it would be known as, but also, I guess, crop rotation and very, very simple things like that. You still do that?
Yeah, in organic farming, cereal farming, you just must do rotation. Whereas in conventional cereal growing, you don't have to do rotation. You can do so a cereal crop in that same field year in, year out for 40 years. So the rotation in my situation is just 2 years oats and then 2 years red clover, and then back to oats again. So there are three points that I really focus on to get the soil right so that it will grow an excellent crop. And number one is as much farmyard manure as possible. Number two, a good rotation. And number three, the use of legumes such as red clover. And the farmyard manure is essential to the whole thing because that's food for the bacteria and the fungi. And they will process that and make the nutrients available to the product, to the crop that's grown. That's the value of the bugs in the soil. They will process the soil and they will poo, they'll die, they'll eat, the big guys will eat the small guys, and there's a lot of dead material there, which is the processed nutrients, and then the crop will pick those up in a natural way.
It's funny, and I keep having to remind myself that this is organic. You can't go in, and I don't want to use the cliches of, you know, a barrel of chemicals or anything like that. That's kind of maybe focusing a little bit on the negative, but essentially you can't spray for weeds, or you don't. You're using the clover, I guess, to bring nitrogen back in a sense, and you also now are back to the point where every single 3 years you can only have two, I guess, crops to go back to the product, bearing all that in mind. So with you'll have to bear with me just at home just for a second, because with modern fertilizers you have a consistency, you can almost calculate. Now I understand there's weather in, but you've ticked one thing off the box. You then decided to go a stage further and to add to the, I guess, maybe the dilemma but also the range, you've added biscuits. Yeah, I know, people, there's a funny pattern to my head, but you added biscuits to the Kilbeggan range. Bearing in mind that the supply of oats is kind of going upwards all by its lonely self, without even putting marketing behind it, I would have done that anyway. Why the decision to go with the Bickies?
Well, it was very simple, really. Because I think, of, as I said earlier, I won't buy in oats from anybody else because I want to keep our product the very high quality that it is. We can therefore only sell the quantity that we can grow on our own farm, and our own farm is obviously limited, and I will never be buying a new farm because you wouldn't do that. So we're selling all the oats we can produce now. So in order to grow the company, and my son home from Australia and he's getting into the business, we want to take on other products. So our first one now is handmade oat cookies, and we have four different flavors in that. And what's different about them is, number one, they're handmade. It's my wife's recipe. She's been feeding them to our children for the last over 30 years. And number three, there are no preservatives, additives, flavorings, colorings, any of those things. There's no junk in them, whatever. Absolutely top-class ingredients. And only four ingredients, plus a little bit of sea salt and sodium bicarbonate.
And they're also from Kilbeggan. And they're also Irish, and they're also organic, and I tasted them yesterday. And I think there was a point where I kind of went, well, hold on a sec, this is like having seven bowls of porridge. And unless you've got you know, four legs and you're walking around the yard. That doesn't really make sense when you've got to drive home across the M50.
Well, some of my customers would say that we should have a health warning on them because they are addictive. But yeah. I just want to correct one little thing, Peter. The oats in our cookies are organic. They're our own organic oats. But the rest of the ingredients are not organic because there's no, believe it or not, there's no Irish organic butter made. So we would have had to import organic butter if you were to have a fully organic product. So we are using unsalted Irish creamy butter. But I'm trying to get somebody now to make Irish organic butter for us, and then we will go the whole hog and have that product completely organic as well.
Yeah, and for those listening at home, there's no... is there organic sea salt? Can you get organic sea salt? Or is that just a...
Well, it's interesting that you should mention that, because the sea salt that we're using is organic, believe it or not.
I won't even ask you how that works, if I'm quite honest with you. That just baffles me, because as far as I'm concerned, that's like having an organic sea.
Yeah, well...
What if my dad brings me away on holidays in 1982 and I go swimming in it, you know, and, you know, you lose your trunks. I don't know.
Well, the only thing about the sea is that it is self-cleansing, because the fish in the sea have to do the same thing as you did too. Organic products are really highly regulated, and the organic system is based on legislation. It's not just a choice of a way of life. There is actually serious EU regulation, and it's the only system of farming that is regulated under EU law. You know, so that's really, and I have inspections for sport. I can have inspections, and I have no problem with inspections from the Organic Trust, which is the certifying body, from the Department of Agriculture, from Bord Bia, and from some of my customers as well. And they're all welcome to come and inspect. I have no problem with it. But it is highly regulated.
You mentioned, rightly so, Bord Bia, who we should thank for putting this together. The food industry, the Irish family food industry, it's like a secret little handshake kind of a club. But I know from talking behind the scenes with Brigida of Burn Salmon and... some of the lads in the drinks and food industry as well, the work behind the scenes that Bord Bia do, how important is that in helping you, I guess, along the way?
Yeah. Oh, it's massive. It really, really is. In March, I was at another event, Marketplace, that was put on in the convention centre by Bord Bia, where they brought in international buyers for speed dating with food producers, and that really was very good. And we've got a lot of interest, but we've actually got an order from America now to send our cookies out there, out to Pennsylvania, which is brilliant. Wow. So Bord Bia really are terrific. And I have to say that the staff we deal with, they are just so helpful, and they're just really nice people to deal with, and they'll help you every way they possibly can. And like the show that's on here at the moment, there are 62 artisan producers all around these tents here, and people should really come and look at them and support them if you can, because they're all family outfits like ourselves, and they're having a go. They're not afraid to fail, you know, and it takes a bit of guts, you know, for people to go and do that, but you know, we just have to have a go.
If people want to find out more, the easiest way, I guess, is just stick Kilbeggan, KILBGGAN, Organic Foods, into the googly thing, and you'll come up with them at Sideshow on Twitter. You have got a website indeed, Pat, don't you?
Yes, it's KilbegganOrganicFoods.com, but if you just put in Kilbeggan Porridge, it comes up.
Excellent stuff, Pat. It's been a real, genuine pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. I look forward to chatting to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Peter. Great talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks to Pat Lawler and, as always, Peter Donegan. He's still with me, but I always think of him as being somewhere still left in a field, and I continue on with the rest of the programme. We are going for Song of the Week, and we're going for something from John Lennon, a favourite of yours.
Yeah, Watching the Wheels, and this goes for a good buddy of mine, Derek, who is a great fan of the show, and you'll know where this is coming from, my man. And that's it. Over to you. Press the decks.
People say I'm crazy, I just have to let it go.
Watching the Wheels, John Lennon, 103.2 Dublin Seat FM, The Sod Show with Brian and Peter together again. It's been a while. Okay, do we know what's coming up on next week's programme?
No, we actually don't. Let me see. Who have we got? I think my good mate Eugene Higgins is coming back on for a little stint.
Stay tuned to sodshow.com for upcoming guests on future shows as we approach Christmas in 2016. Peter, it's been great being in studio with you again.
You too, Brian. Pleasure, my man, as always.
And we'll talk to you on the podcast after Tea Time Friday and next week at 3 o'clock on Dublin City FM. Have a great week. Take care. Goodbye.
Slán.